Today we'll be continuing our series on the commandments, which Mr. Waddle and I began 3 weeks ago. Today is commandment number four. Commandment number four, as I mentioned earlier, we have decided to do this series going through each of the commandments. And today's message, we'll see how far we get. I'm going to try to finish it all today so that it doesn't become a part two. So let's begin over in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. We'll read this commandment from God here in Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it." Brethren, there have been many sermons given recently on the subject of the Sabbath day, for indeed the Sabbath is one of the commandments that through our obedience makes us stand out different from most other Christians. When your neighbors see you walking out on a beautiful day like today with a tie on, your wife dressed up so nicely with your Bible in your hand and your briefcase, you're looking a little different. You're looking a little different. I remember growing up as a youth on the Sabbath in the city, and it'd be a beautiful day like that. The guys are getting together to play a nice hard game of football or basketball or block ball or something to make you sweat. Didn't matter what it was as young boys growing up. And here we were, five of us in the family, and my dad with his Bible in his hand and his briefcase. We were marching out like little ducklings, going into the car, not looking very happy, as the neighbors on both sides are like, "There they go again. Man, you know, we're going to be playing football today and having a great time. And, you know, sorry, Jackson, you know, you're going to church." Going to church. But they didn't realize the blessing of the Sabbath day, and certainly I didn't realize the blessing of the Sabbath day. I've come to grow in it, to love this day. Certainly, hopefully, we all are doing the same. You know, if God did not command us to keep this day, would we be here? Would we be here? I would say most likely not. If we didn't understand that this day was commanded by God, we would not be here. So today, I just want to highlight just some basic thoughts regarding this day, and I will focus the majority of this message on verse 8, on verse 8 only. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want to take each of these words, break them up as I enjoy doing in my messages. The first word here says remember. Remember. Hebrew word is zakar. Z-A-K-A-R. Z-A-K-A-R. Zakar. It means to remember, to recall, to call to mind, to be brought to remembrance. To be thought of, to cause to remember, to remind, to record, to make memory of, to make remembrance of. You know, at the very basis of this commandment from God to mankind is that we not forget that every week, at the end of every week, the seventh day of every week is the Sabbath day. Don't forget it. He starts off with remember. Just remember, don't forget it. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter the physical or mental conditions we are in, if we have the cognitive capability of thought to remember the Sabbath day, God says, remember. Don't forget that it's the Sabbath day. Very simple word that he begins with, remember. Many people have simply failed to remember the Sabbath day. Failed to remember it. Forget about keeping it. Forget about keeping it holy. Many people have just failed to just simply remember that it's the Sabbath day. Mr. Waddle mentioned in a sermon on the subject a year or so ago that every week should lead up to the Sabbath day. That when we begin Sunday, when we start through Monday, through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, our week should be leading up towards the Sabbath day. And as busy as we are today, we know Friday has been set aside as a preparation day. The Bible indicates that. But many of us are so busy, we can't, you know, leave just Friday for preparation day. By the time Friday comes, we're already exhausted. We have a list longer than we can complete. And we end up rushing into the Sabbath day. So the idea is that we kind of order our life, just like all the other commandments that we need to remember. We can't just wait till the Sabbath to remember the Sabbath day. We have to remember the Sabbath day all week long. Go with me over to Deuteronomy. You keep your finger there in Exodus. But Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Why should we remember? Why should we remember the Sabbath? It says here in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, you can see here in Deuteronomy 5, all of the commandments are restated here. It says here in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, and remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. We have firstly to remember why we are here. We're here because God commands us firstly to be here, and we are here because God was merciful in liberating us from the enslavement to sin and eternal death. What a beautiful thing to remember. To remember that we're here because of what Jesus Christ did for us. He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. We understand that Egypt represented sin. We were slaves to sin. And Jesus Christ, our Passover, gave his life for us, freeing us and all mankind from the penalty of sin, from eternal death. And God says, don't forget that. Remember that. Remember that. Therefore, remembering the Sabbath day should be a delight for us. What a wonderful gift that God says, every week I'm setting aside an entire day as a gift to you to remember that I called you out of Egypt. I called you out of sin. Eternal death does not have to be the outcome of your failures. What a beautiful thing that God has given to us. So remembering the Sabbath day should also be a delight, a memorable delight reminding us of our freedom, of our freedom. Many other things we could comment on to remember about this day. But let's go on to the next word here in Exodus. The next word here, it says here, remember the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. This word Sabbath means intermission, intermission, to repose, to desist from exertion, to cease, to keep, to put away, to make a rest, to make a rest. My father-in-law stated beautifully in a sermon that the Sabbath is the pause that refreshes. The pause that refreshes. God says, I command mankind not to forget the weekly pause that refreshes. The Sabbath should be a day of rest for us, a delight for us, a pause that refreshes us. You know, one of the questions we can ask ourselves is whether we feel physically and spiritually refreshed after observing the command to pause. To pause. When we come to God's Sabbath day, we have an opportunity to get home, to take a nice walk, to enjoy this beautiful weather. It should be refreshing to us. A pause that refreshes the Sabbath. That's what the Sabbath means, to rest. You know, it can be challenging for those who have to travel long distances in order to congregate or to assemble on the Sabbath day before God. But even with that extra effort, even with that exertion, we must stop, pause, desist from work, put away, put down, and celebrate this day before God. This day should be different than all other days. If God had not commanded us to rest on the Sabbath day, would we? Would we? Would we choose to pause on this day? Personally, just speak for myself, I wouldn't. I'm probably a type A sort of personality. You know, I don't leave tasks and things too undone. You know, I have many, many tasks, jobs, efforts that I could be working on today. You know, unanswered questions, work-related. You know, the grass with all the rain is, you know, almost a foot tall in the back. I could be out there with all my other neighbors cutting and mowing and working and sweating and all those things that could be doing today. But God says no. God says today rest. God says today pause. God says today stop. God commands us on this day from sunset to put it down, to stop work, to pause, to take your shoes off. That's what he told Moses, take your shoes off. This is holy ground where you are. This is holy time. Take your shoes off. Treat this day as something different, to rest from it. The Sabbath day for most of the world is just another busy day of work. Another busy day of work, but this day was made for all mankind. Go with me over to Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. This again just shows the love that God has for us. The Sabbath day was made for all mankind. All mankind. The Christian world, by and large, failed to recognize these words of Jesus Christ. They call themselves Christian, but they failed to recognize his very words here in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. It says, "And he said to them," in red in my Bible, indicating Christ's words, "the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." The Sabbath. It's not a Jewish Sabbath. It's not, you know, the Hebrew Sabbath. It's the Lord's Sabbath. The Lord's Sabbath, his Sabbath. The Lord made this rest day. The Lord says pause. The Lord says refresh from sunset to sunset. The Lord made it, and made it for who? Who did he make it for? He made it for mankind. This word where it says the Sabbath was made for man in the Greek is anthropos. Anthropos. A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-S. Anthropos. It means man-faced. It means human beings. Different from, discrete from, other races of animals, of plants, of angels. It means made in the image of God, like Christ and God. It means man-faced. Man-faced. So anyone you look at that has a face that looks like a human being, that resembles a human being, that is a human being, that has the genetic capabilities of a human being, should be recognizing this day. This day was made for all mankind. For all mankind. This day is not limited within any race of human beings to nationality, to creed, to color, to borders, to anything. Our Creator made this day for man. For man. For mankind. For mankind. If you're human, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, was made for you. For you. What a beautiful, beautiful day. It was a gift by God to you. He gave the whole day to you. A day. 52 days in the year he gave to you. Plus the holy days. What greater gift? What greater gift? Most of us may not get 52 days of vacation time from our jobs. God says, I'm going to give you a day every week, created for you to observe me, to look to me. What a beautiful, beautiful gift from God. And this was indeed a day, a 24-hour or day. The word day, when it says remember the Sabbath day, that means from sunset to sunset. You can do an entire study about that, realizing that it was a full day. A full day that God has given. Not a part of a day, not a piece of a day, but a full day. 52 days of rest to be refreshed, to delight, that pause, that refreshes. That's what this day should mean for us. That's what this day should mean for us. It says here, to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day, third point, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want to first focus on to keep. The entire phrase, keep it holy, is Kadesh. Q-A-D-A-S-H, Kadesh in the Hebrew. Keep it holy, the whole phrase means Kadesh. But I want to just focus on keep it. Keep it. Keep it means to causatively make, to pronounce, to observe, to keep, to proclaim, to prepare. To keep, to prepare, to proclaim. That's what this word Kadesh means, to keep, to keep. God makes it clear by telling us not only to remember the Sabbath day, but to keep it. There is action, causative action, that we must take. We just can't say, I'm going to remember and not do anything. You know, I'm going to recognize that the Sabbath is the Sabbath. Yep, I recognize the Sabbath is the Sabbath. And then that's it. God says, no, you have to go beyond that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it. There's action that we must do. We must do something. You know, we can remember Mother's Day, right? We can remember Father's Day, or we remember when someone or ourselves were born, the birthday. And when we do, we might go through the effort on that day or that week by going out of our way to stop by a drugstore, look through the cards real quick, like the, you know, if you're running late like everybody else, pick out a card, say, yeah, this works. Throw it into an envelope. Maybe reach your pocket, see how much cash you have. Throw a couple bucks in there. Close it up. Address it. Throw a stamp on it. Put it in the mail and say, whew, I'm glad I remembered Mother's Day. I'm glad I remembered Father's Day. I didn't forget. Whew, I'm glad I remembered birthday. You know, my son's, my daughter's birthday. I didn't forget. I remembered. And then you can go on about your day. We can't treat the Sabbath that way. We can't treat it like every other day in which we might remember that day. That's why God says, remember to keep it. To keep it. It's good to remember those days. It's good to not wait till the last minute so all the good cards are gone. But we need to step up the Sabbath day beyond that. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it. God says, don't just remember, keep it. The whole day from sunrise to sunset. We must take care not to treat the Sabbath day like we treat other days when we only remember. In keeping it, however, the Jews and many other Sabbath keepers have added to the list of all sorts of do's and don'ts. The Jews were famous about that. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were famous about that. Mr. Harper was just referring to. They had to take what God says don't work and then add all of these lists to it to make the Sabbath day no longer a delight, but make the Sabbath day a burden. The Sabbath should be a delight. It should be an enjoyable day. It should be an enjoyable day. So the Jews added 39 specific categories of things not to do on the Sabbath day. 39 categories, and it says here in these 39 categories that these were 39 categories above and beyond what was written in Scripture. Not that any of these should be included or excluded, But they recognized that these 39 things you couldn't find specifically in the Bible where it says, don't absolutely do this, or don't absolutely do that. But they added these 39 categories. So underneath these categories, all sorts of subcategories. Let me just blow through these right quickly. These 39 categories. Carrying was a category. Carrying. Can't lift, can't carry anything, right? Carrying. Harvesting. Planting. Burning. Threshing. Reaping. Extinguishing. You know, so I guess if there's a fire, gotta let it burn, baby, burn. Winnowing. Trapping. Finishing. Selecting. Shearing. Writing. Everybody put your pens down. No writing. Sifting. Slaughtering. Erasing. Grinding. Marking. Cooking. Kneading. Unraveling. Washing. Combing. Building. Sewing. Spinning. 27. Demolishing. Tearing. Dying. Not as far as like dying, dying. I don't think they could control that. D-Y-E-I-N-G. Dying. Skinning. Knotting. Chain stitching. Mrs. Miley, no crocheting on the Sabbath. Chain stitching. Tanning. Uniting. Warping. Smoothing. Shaping. Weaving, plowing. So these were 39 categories that men added, the Jews added, Pharisees added, others added, to say you can't do any of these on the Sabbath. God says the Sabbath is supposed to be a delight. He says keep it. But he tells us in Scripture how to keep it. He doesn't go through and give us all the details of all the do's and don'ts. Why? Because if it was necessary, he would have given us that list. He would have given us that list. God says, don't work on this day. If you have questions about what you should and shouldn't do, get wise advice. Ask the ministry or ask others who have been in the church for a while. Get some guidance. It says, now Jesus Christ, it also says here, is Lord of the Sabbath. So we need to look to his example. What did he do on the Sabbath day? And many of the things that Jesus Christ did during his time on earth was called into question by the Pharisees and by the Sadducees. Even though he was Lord of the Sabbath, he said, this is my day. I've given it to you. I know what to do and what not to do on the Sabbath. They called into question whether or not he knew what he was talking about. Even though it was his day, he created it. So Jesus Christ in the New Testament, he shows that he healed on the Sabbath day. They had a problem with that. He opened the eyes of the blind on the Sabbath day. They had a problem with that. He healed a crippled woman on the Sabbath day, trying to show them the Sabbath is a day of love. It's a day of sharing. They had a problem with that. He permitted pulling a donkey or ox from a pit on the Sabbath day. They had a problem with that. He cast out demons on the Sabbath day. They had a problem with that. And when he was walking through a grain field and his disciples were hungry, he plucked heads of grain and fed them to his disciples. And disciples also plucked heads of grain. And they ate. And they had problems with that. So the lesson here, let's go over to John chapter 7 and verse 22. John chapter 7 and verse 22. For all of these, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, was called into question. But look at the antithesis of this argument against Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ says we ought to do with regard to the Sabbath. Here in John 7, verse 22, Jesus Christ here is speaking about circumcision. Now, the thing to recognize is that the Jews said it was okay to circumcise on the Sabbath. All the pain, all the suffering that is associated with circumcision. For those who don't know what circumcision is, you can see me after church. All the pain, all the suffering associated with circumcision, the Jews said it's okay to circumcise on the Sabbath. Somehow they put that into a separate category. But what about all the other things? So Jesus Christ makes a very strong point here. He says, Moses therefore gave you circumcision. Not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? How can you do that? Verse 24, he says, this is a lesson for us. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Judge with righteous judgment. Right? We have to go back to the scriptures. You know, there are different things that different families will choose to do or not do on the Sabbath day. God makes it very, very clear that what we should refrain from on the Sabbath day is work or things that are related to work. But there are other things that you within your family, you may find within the Bible that says, well, my family, you know, we don't do X on the Sabbath day. Or we don't do B on the Sabbath day. God says, judge with righteous judgment. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were unable to judge with righteous judgment. They didn't have that ability to judge with righteous judgment. Because they said to him, look, don't heal this person. How can you heal this person on the Sabbath day? How can you heal this crooked woman, the crippled woman, on the Sabbath day? How could you take the scales off this man's eyes on the Sabbath day? Christ, you don't understand. You don't understand the purpose of the Sabbath day. You don't understand the purpose of the Sabbath day. So we should judge with righteous judgment. Scripture is clear. Refrain from work. Refrain from labor. Rest on the Sabbath day. It should be a day that refreshes. God then adds a very important point to the Sabbath keeping. Point number four, he says, keep the Sabbath day. He says, keep it holy. Keep it holy. So keep it holy should allow us to look at the things that we do on the Sabbath day and set it up and mirror it against holiness. Against holiness. The word holy here, again, the entire phrase is kodesh. Holy means to be clean, ceremonially or morally clean, to appoint, to bid, to consecrate, to dedicate, to hallow, to keep holy. To keep pure, to sanctify. God says, when you keep the Sabbath day, keep it holy because the Sabbath is holy. But we can't take the phrase that it's holy and then add 39 lists of what we believe holiness means. God says, judge with righteous judgment. So what makes the Sabbath day holy? What makes today holy? Is it our observance of the day that makes it holy? Is it because we can follow all 39 of those rules that makes the Sabbath day holy? By breaking any of those 39 rules or by going out and working, do we make the Sabbath day unholy? The Sabbath day is holy because God's presence is in it. That's what makes the Sabbath day holy. The Sabbath day is holy because God placed His presence in it. That's what makes it holy. It's not a matter of holiness being some ethereal, ghostly, untouchable, mysterious feeling that we might have. It is holy because God's presence is in it. Can we remove God's presence from it? I don't think so. Can we make ourselves unholy or unrighteous by our misuse of God's Sabbath day? Yes, we can. But God's Sabbath day is still holy. His day is still holy. We cannot make what God has made holy unholy. We don't have that power. God says keep it. He tells you to keep it holy. He tells me to keep it holy. That's how we should keep it. But God's Sabbath day is holy because His presence is in it. When did God make the seventh day holy? Go with me over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. You know, a lot of people believe, as I've stated in the past, that the commandments were established, they came into existence at Mount Sinai. Absolutely not the case. Killing was not illegal beginning with Mount Sinai forward. Killing was illegal going back to the time in which man was created. As I stated before, else Cain killing Abel would have just been a misjudgment. Just would have been a misstep instead of murder. And God's Sabbath day was established at creation. So breaking God's Sabbath day would have been illegal long before the establishment of the written Ten Commandments. Because we go back here to Genesis and we'll see that this day, this Sabbath day, was set aside to be something totally different than all the other days of the week. That's what God said that it would be. I'm just going to breeze through here, Genesis 1, look at each of these days, and see what God called them, and see how what he called the Sabbath day, how different it is from the other days. So Genesis chapter 1, this week of recreation, Genesis chapter 1, 3 through 6, was the first day. God said, "Let there be light," light divided from the darkness. And God said, "It was good. It was good." Verse 6 through 8, the second day, he said, "Let there be firmament separating the waters above from the waters below." The firmament he called heaven. He said, "That's good. That's good." Verse 9 through 10, the waters divided by the dry land, the seas and the earth. He said, "That's good." Verse 11 through 13, the third day, grass, herbs, seeds, fruit trees created. God said, "That's good." That was good. He liked what he had done. That was good. Verses 14 through 19, the fourth day, he created the sun, the moon, the stars for signs and seasons in the heavens. The sun to rule over the day, the moon to rule the night. God said, "That was good." That too is good. Verse 20 to 23, the fifth day, God made living creatures. He made birds in the sky. He made the fish of the sea. All the creatures of the fish and all the things that fly in the air. God said, "That's good." That was good. Verse 24 through 25, the sixth day, God made living creatures on the earth. He made cattle, creeping things, and beasts. He said, "That was good." Verse 26 through 28, he said, "Let us make man. Let us make man in our image. Male and female, he created them, gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, the living things on the earth." Verse 31, then God saw everything which he had made, and it was very good. Very good. So evening and morning were the sixth day. So up to this point, God made all those things. And he said, this was good. The heavens was good. The moon was good. The earth was good. The creeping things were good. The bears were good. Lions, good. Whales were good. Creeping things were good. Man and woman, good. Looked at it all and said, you know, all of this is very good. Drop down to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. He says, then the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Now, he's about to do something on this day that he didn't do on any of the other days. On all the other days, he just stated, this was good and that was good. And I looked out and it all was very good. But look what he did on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. It says, then God blessed the seventh day. You see where he blessed the other days? He didn't mention that he blessed the other days. So it says, God blessed the seventh day. And it went on to say that he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Made this day special. Made this day very special. Unlike all the other days, He both blessed it and sanctified it. This word blessed is Barak, just like Barack Obama. Barack's first name means blessed. That's what it means. Barak, he blessed it. Blessed means to bless, to kneel, to adorn, to praise, to salute. That's what it means. He blessed this day. That's what God did with this day. And then he sanctified it. This word sanctified, Kadesh. Kadesh. The same one over in Exodus. This is the exact same word. To consecrate, sanctify, to dedicate, to be holy, to separate as holy, to set apart, to observe as holy, to keep as holy, to honor as sacred. That's what God did with this day. He made this day holy. All the way back here in Genesis when he first made the day. First made the day. How wonderful that is. The seventh day, the Sabbath day, was made holy from creation. Made for mankind to rest. And God set the supreme example. Was God tired? He'd say, whew, this was a tough week, man. Did all this creation and, oh boy, I'm worn out. I need to rest. Not hardly. God rested as an example for us because he had just made man and woman. He knew that we were physical beings, that we needed not only rest, but he needed to set aside a day for us to observe what he had done. And Adam and Eve, from the time in which they created, that very next day rested. 7 days later, they rested. 7 days from that, they rested. They were to rest from that point forward. Mankind was to rest the seventh day from that point forward. Very, very clear here in Scripture. God is telling us how to keep it. Don't work, but rest. Take your shoes off. You can just note down Exodus 3, verse 5. I made reference to this a couple times. Exodus 3, verse 5, when Moses came up to Mount Sinai, it says, "Then he, God, said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.'" This ground here is different than all the other grounds. Why? Because God's presence was there. This day is different than all the other days. Why? Because God's presence is here. It's not a matter of the 39 rules that make it holy. God's presence makes it holy. We should delight in that. This should be an enjoyable day for us. This should be a fresh, refreshing day for us. And just like that holy ground, Moses could have said, "Well, you know, that ground there looks just like that ground here. What are you talking about? I just walked up on the mountain on ground, and you're telling me that this is something different? It looks the same to me. I don't think I'm going to take my shoes off." Right? It would have been a little pile of ashes. Right? But God is merciful. He doesn't do that with us when we fail to remember his Sabbath day. God is merciful to us. But we should remember to keep it holy. Remember God's Sabbath day, a day of rest. Two other points that I want to bring out, not specifically here in this particular section here in Exodus. Go with me over to Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. God tells us that on the Sabbath day we are to come together. That's something we ought to also endeavor to do on the Sabbath day. Here in Leviticus 23, verse 3, it says, "6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." It says it is a holy convocation. A holy convocation. Convocation means a calling together, a sacred assembly. That's what this is. This is a sacred assembly. This is a coming together. You can also note down in your notes 1 Corinthians 11:18, 1 Corinthians 11:18, and 1 Corinthians 14:23. 1 Corinthians 14:23. Both of those scriptures make clear that on the Sabbath day, there was a congregation, there was a coming together of the people of God. One of the reasons why we come together on the Sabbath day is to be taught about God, to be educated. This is our classroom time. This is where we become educated, where we learn about God, about what we not only should do on the Sabbath day, but how we should order our life every day of the week, as we heard in the opening prayer. You know, God, help us to take what we learn and order our steps appropriately during the week. Right? That's why God calls us out on the Sabbath day to come together to learn from Him. Very important part of the Sabbath day that we come together, we congregate on the Sabbath day. Point number six, the final point. Go with me over to Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. I've made reference to this several times, that God calls the Sabbath day a delight. You know, part of the responsibility that we have as individuals in God's church on this day is to try to make this day delightful for each other. Right? Try to add a smile, add a concern, add a listening ear, add a word of encouragement, a word of uplift to each and every one of us. We will need that during the week. We need that during the week, right? This day should be a delight. It shouldn't be a day of burden. It shouldn't be a day of pressure. It shouldn't be a day where, you know, I don't want to go in because I got to see that person. They're going to be, you know, on my back about what I did and didn't do. That shouldn't be the purpose of this day. This isn't called the day of judging your brother. Let's have a judge your brother day, right? Let's have a point out what they did wrong day. It might be fun, but that's not what the Sabbath day is for. But sometimes we end up falling into that trap where this is a day where I'm going to show my holiness or my righteousness by criticizing my brother and taking my burdens and adding them onto their shoulder and making their burden heavier instead of making their burden lighter. This day should be a delight. Let me read it here in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. It says here, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, in doing your own, and shall honor him not in doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will call you, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken." It says, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words. That's not the purpose of today. Right? The purpose of the day, God says, to make this day a delight. Let me read this to you out of the New Living Translation. It makes it very beautiful here, the New Living Translation. It says here, Isaiah 58, verse 13, it says, "Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath." Don't pursue your own interest on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. You know, when I was young and coming out and seeing the guys going out playing football, when I wanted to go out and play football or baseball or block ball or just run and cut up and have fun on the Sabbath day, it was difficult for me to look at this with delight, to speak of it with delight. But that's the maturing that we come to. Now when the Sabbath comes, oh boy, I'm so glad. I am so happy that I have a command by God. I can look at my boss, I can look at my work, I can look at the things in front of me and say, look, unfortunately today I've been commanded by a higher power that I got to put it down. I have to stop. I have to pause. It's a day for me to be refreshed. It says here, continuing, "Honor the Sabbath day in everything you do on that day. Don't follow your own desires or talk idly. good encouragement. You know, remember the Sabbath day and everything that we do. You know, if you go out to eat, acknowledge the fact that this is a wonderful day. This is God's Sabbath day. Conversation that you have, you're going out for a walk, you're just going to ride home and speak to your children or listen to music and relax. Keep in mind that it's God's Sabbath day. It's a day that He's given to us to enjoy, to delight in. When we speak into one another, give us each other encouragement so that we can make it through the next week. Lean into the next week. Lean into the Sabbath that will be coming up a week later. Make it a delight. Verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord will be your delight." That's what we want. We want the Lord to be your delight. It says, I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised your ancestors, Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken." Very beautiful there in the New Living Translation. Finally, I want to read the last section from the church's booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest. I think this sums up this topic very, very nicely, and I will end on time. Sunset to Sunset, it says here, quote, "God's word tells us that His commandments are never burdensome." 1 John 5, verse 3. 1 John 5, verse 3. "God's word tells us His commandments are never burdensome. They are not meaningless or arbitrary. They were given to humanity in love from God, from a God of infinite wisdom and knowledge. They were given to be a benefit to mankind, bringing blessings when obeyed. These commandments include God's Sabbath." God's Sabbath. "It is a day of rest and refreshing, a gift to mankind by the one who designed and created us. It is a time for physical, emotional, and spiritual renewal. God knew that we would need this time to nurture and strengthen a right relationship with Him." So we need to use part of our time to do that. Part of the Sabbath commandment reads, "6 days shall you labor and do all your work." God tells us to take care of our ordinary work and concerns on the other 6 days, leaving our time and our minds free to properly worship and obey Him by observing the Sabbath. When we are free to focus our minds and our thoughts on God's way and purpose, the Sabbath day truly becomes a blessing and a delight God intends it to be. On the seventh day of the week, each week, we should cease from our own work and allow God to work in us, building and nourishing our relationship with our Creator, and I'm going to add something here, it's not in here, and our relationships with each other. That's what we should do on the Sabbath day. When we then discover and experience the blessings, we will then discover and experience the blessings of God's Sabbath rest. A beautiful day. Brethren, remember the Sabbath day. That this is the day, the pause that refreshes. This is how we should feel at the end of the Sabbath day, that we have been refreshed, that we have enjoyed being in the presence of God, that we have enjoyed fellowship with each other, that we have enjoyed the communication and camaraderie with each other. That's what God's Sabbath day should mean. That we remember to not just keep the Sabbath day, but to also keep it holy. To spend some portion of the day building our relationship with God. Spending some extra time maybe in Bible study, or in meditation, or in conversation with the children, or the wife, or the loved ones. Looking at His creation and the blessings that He has given us on this day to keep it holy. Let us come together each Sabbath with these things in mind. Consider it the Sabbath day. Speak of it with delight. The Sabbath day is to be a day of delight. So, brethren, let us thank God for His beautiful Sabbath day, the pause that refreshes.